Janet Salt is an amazing lady, registered both deaf and blind. This hasn't stopped Janet from doing all the things she loves, from travelling around the world to horse riding. Janet joins me now to chat about her life story and also to talk about her latest passion, dancing. Hi, Janet.
Hi, Barry.
Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
What is your sight condition, Janet?
My sight condition is retinitis pigmentosa.
And were you born with that?
I was born with it, yes, but I had useful vision until my early teens, and then the sight deteriorated rapidly, and I've been totally blind for over 40 years now.
Did the doctors tell you that would be an inevitability, that your sight would one day go altogether?
It was kept from me as a child. I think my parents thought they were being kind. I only found out when I was 16, and I went to an optician. I asked him, would I go blind? And I don't think he realised that I hadn't been told. And he quite casually said, oh, yes, but in a few years. And I was so shocked.
And you've also got hearing problems as well, Janet, is that right?
Yes, unfortunately. I've been a bit greedy, haven't I? I've been wearing hearing aids since I was 7.
And did you go to mainstream school?
I went to mainstream school until I was 9, when they actually diagnosed what my sight complaint was and registered me blind when I was 10. At that point, they decided to send me to what used to be called a special school.
And how did you find that?
I hated it.
Can I ask why?
Why? I suppose because I was very independent. I liked my own freedom and I liked being at home with my family. And I find being at boarding school very restrictive, particularly when I went to a Catholic convent school in Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
And we needed permission to leave the room. We had very little freedom. And I just wanted to be at home and go to ordinary school.
What age did you actually leave school?
I left school when I was almost 16. And then I went into mainstream education to do what we used to call O-levels then. I went to Witness Tech and I passed with 3 or 4, can't remember. And because we didn't do that up to that standard of education at the boarding school at that time.
When did your love of horses begin?
I've loved horses from as far back as I can remember. I can remember when I was 2, I was bought my first rocking horse called Cherokee. You know, I've still got that in the loft and it looks so small now. And then I was very lucky. I was able to have my own ponies when I was 14.
Where were they kept? At the local stables, Janet?
There was a local piece of land within walking distance from where my mum lived. And we kept them on there and there was a shelter for them to go in.
That must have been amazing. I'm sure it's most little girls' dream to have their own horse.
Oh, I loved it. And my dad made a set of jumps to move to practice with the horses over.
Sport seems to have played a huge part in your life, Janet. When did you first get involved with water skiing?
Ah, now that was interesting. I used to work for Manchester Libraries, and as part of my job, I used to go around the school to do blind awareness talks. And there was another gentleman in the area who called Gerald Price, who worked for the RNIB. It was also his job to go around the school doing awareness talks. So when he found out someone else was on his patch, he rang me up for a chat. And we had a very pleasant chat. And during that conversation, he said that Sale Water Park allocated 2 days a year when disabled people can have a go at water skiing to see if they liked it. And would I be interested? Well, I've never given water skiing a thought before, but I thought, why not? It's something different. So I went along to Sale, and they're all very, very nice members. And they put me on what they called a triple bar, which means that there's 2 people, one either side of you, we're all on water skis and we all hold a very long bar. And I'm ashamed to say I was absolutely appalling.
Were you?
I was. I fell in that much I must have lowered the level of the reservoir. However, I was not going to give up. I overheard somebody say, oh, she's got no potential. And that's just the sort of thing you say to me to make me prove them wrong. So I joined Sale Water Park Water Ski Club, and they taught me to ski. And then I was very lucky and got sponsorship at Pine Lakes in Calm. 18 months later, I competed in Perth, Western Australia, and beat the American champion who hadn't been beaten before.
That's amazing.
It was amazing.
Was that 1989?
Yes, it was.
So you're world champion, but it didn't end there because 2 years later you tasted more success.
At Michigan, America, I competed again and was fortunate enough to take the second gold medal.
Unbelievable. Do you still have the medal at home?
They are framed.
Fantastic. And what happened after that? Did you give up the water skiing?
No. I had quite a serious accident going over the water jump, actually.
No way.
After that, I couldn't ski as well, so I decided to move on to something different. As I've got to top, where could I go then? So I wanted to do something different.
Now, I want to talk about the Great Wall of China, but before we do, can we just talk a little bit about your husband, because he's part of this story as well. When did you meet Mike?
I met Mike at school, and he was my boyfriend from 14. He was my fiancé at 19, and my husband at 22. I lived in Runcorn at the time, and he was in Stockport. When I got married, we moved to Stockport.
Okay.
And we were married for nearly 29 years. We've had a fantastic time. We used to travel abroad a lot. Mm-hmm. And I consider myself very privileged to have travelled on the Orient Express. And we went to New Zealand for Christmas 1 year. And New York, I thought New York was fabulous.
Yeah, I've never been to New York. I'd like to go myself.
Oh, I think you should. I think you'd enjoy it.
Definitely.
And you can't get lost because it's a grid system.
You and Mike had planned to walk the Great Wall together, hadn't you?
Yes, we were. But sadly, Mike died in the January. He contracted one of the superbugs, which was resistant to antibiotics. He became ill around Christmas, went into hospital the day after Boxing Day and never came home.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it was awful. I decided to go ahead with the walk, and that happened in the September.
And you were doing that to raise money for Henshaw's, the charity.
Henshaw's Society for the Blind, yeah.
And I believe you actually had a guide from Henshaw's walk the wall with you.
It was, yes, she did. She did really well. And we did 42 miles altogether, and that was on the unrenovated parts of the wall. We were treated at the end of the holiday when we went to Beijing, and we went up the touristy part of the wall, which has lovely steps and everything smooth and nice. But it was a pleasure to have gone there. And it was absolutely amazing, because if you go to the park in Beijing, they're all dancing and singing. And, of course, dancing is something I'm very keen on. And as soon as I heard they were dancing, I had to dash forward and join in with them.
And how much money did you raise?
£5,000.
Fantastic. So that was in 2009.
It was.
And shortly afterwards, you found a new love, dancing.
I did. I've always wanted to dance, and I'd never had the opportunity. We did do a little bit, Mike and I, together, but only for about 9 months before he died. And then I thought, that's it, it's over already. But I was very lucky that a couple that we used to go dancing with were quite happy for me to go with them. And I borrowed her husband for some of the dances.
Okay.
And he was a very good dancer.
Was he?
Yeah.
Was that ballroom and Latin dancing?
It was mainly modern sequence. He could do some ballroom, but not very much. I only got into ballroom when I found a teacher who was willing to teach me, Paul Burton, and I asked him if he could teach me ballroom and Latin dancing. And then I decided I'd like to do the exams. So I did 2 each year until I did them all, up to Laurel and Matador.
What's next? Have you any new dances to learn? Are you still involved with the Matador?
Well, there's no more exams as far as I'm aware. So now what I do is show dances. We choose a piece of music and we work together on the choreographing of the dance. And then we perform that. It was once a year, but it's been twice a year for the last couple of years. But sadly, Next Saturday, I'll be doing the final show dances because my teacher's decided to give up doing that now.
Maybe there's a gap in the market, Janet.
Well, you never know, do you, Barry?
And where will that be taking place?
It'll be at High Lane Community Centre, and I will be doing four dances, a waltz, a foxtrot, tango and quickstep, all in different costumes, all different characters to dance, all really, really nice music. I'm looking forward to it, apprehensively.
What are the benefits of dancing if you have sight loss or hearing issues?
The difficulties are is to find someone that will teach you. Most dance teachers will, I think. And of course, then you would need a partner to dance if you wanted to dance socially. I think that's the main problem is we don't have partners to dance with.
Mm-hmm.
But the advantages are absolutely amazing. It's a wonderful feeling to be able to dance to music beautifully and gracefully. Or, depending on the dance, like a quick step, so very fast, and you have the opportunity of moving much faster than you probably do normally.
Sure.
In other words, it breaks down the barriers. So you have much more freedom, and you have the opportunity to express how you feel and be other people. I just can't stress it enough. It's a wonderful thing to do.
What advice would you have for anyone that's listening that may have similar sight or hearing problems to yourself?
I would say to anyone with a sight loss, if there's anything you want to do that you set your heart on, then you go for it. You may not succeed, but if you don't try, you definitely won't succeed. So have a go. And if you don't succeed at one thing, there's always plenty of other things you could choose. And don't be put off by people who, out of misplaced kindness, will discourage you. You follow your heart.
Janet, you've certainly packed a lot into your life. What's next for you?
I've no idea. I'm waiting for something to present itself for me to have a go. I really don't know what's next.
You sound like you love a challenge anyway, so hopefully one's just around the corner.
I hope so too.
It's been a real pleasure chatting to you. Janet Salt, thank you very much for talking to RNIB Connect Radio.
It was a pleasure, Barry. Thank you.